Hello, and welcome to The Slow Revolution, the podcast where we explore the pros and cons of slowing down in a fast and impatient world. I'm Carl Honoré, your host, and my guest today is Michel Tombroff, CEO of the Belgian startup Jack. Jack is a new messaging app with a twist. It works like this. You send someone a Jack and it arrives instantly, just like it would on every other messaging platform out there. The twist is that you decide when the recipient can open and read your message. You might make them wait an hour, a day, a month, a year, or maybe 3 years, 10 years, or even longer. How long they wait is up to you as the sender. You can see why this app, Jack, caught my eye. Sure, it's playful and novel, but it goes deeper than that. Jack challenges the prevailing culture of instant gratification. It invites us to rethink how we communicate, how we feel about waiting and looking forward to things, how we feel about time itself. I wanted to know more about Jack, so I arranged to meet up with Michel for a chat in London. And here's what happened next. So we're here now in the Institute of Directors in Pall Mall in central London, and I'm with Michel Tombroff. Thank you for being on the program. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe we should just start off by having you explain a little bit about how Jack works.
Absolutely. So Jack is a messaging application that allows people to send messages to their friends and families like you would do with any other type of messaging application that people use every day. But the key difference with Jack is that when you send a message, you specify when the other person will be able to read the message. Now, the trick in this application is that the person actually receives the message immediately, but cannot read it until the time is right. And the time being right is decided by the sender of the message. And this whole concept came from an idea from our founder, Jack Abrams, that, you know, many things do not need to be said instantly. Actually, most of the things that we share in life with friends, families, kids, etc., need the right time to be delivered properly, to have the right impact. And so he came up with this brilliant idea to combine the effect of instant notification, which creates excitement, anticipation, curiosity, etc., and the pleasure of waiting for the message to finally open. And the waiting period can be anywhere between 1 hour and infinity, if you like. So you can send a Jack that I will receive today that I can only read in a year from now, if you decide to do so.
What's the longest Jack that you've sent so far?
The longest Jack I've sent is 3 years. It coincided with a personal anniversary with my wife that I'm anticipating already. I've received Jacks that I anticipate will take more than 5 years before I can read those, in particular from Jack, because Jack is very good at sending long-term Jacks.
So when you receive a Jack, you open up your screen, because I've had the app myself and I'm playing around with it, so just so people have a picture in their mind of how it looks in the real world, you see, I got a Jack from you, and I saw a picture of you, and then a circle, and there's a percentage line going around the circle telling me, giving me a rough idea of how long it's
going to
take?
Yes, absolutely. So that's the key idea, is to give an indication, an estimation of the time remaining before you can read your Jack. In a way, it's an hourglass, except that for the user interface, we decided to make it a running circle that gives you an estimate of the time remaining. Now, we don't tell you exactly when that Jack will open, because that, we feel, would actually defeat the purpose. If you know exactly that the Jack will open next Friday at 6 p.m., then you probably won't think about that Jack until Friday 6 p.m. But here, since you don't know exactly when the Jack will open, you keep looking at it. You keep trying to anticipate the opening of the Jack, and this is what creates what we call time is emotion, an emotional relationship between you and the message, and therefore between you and the sender.
So you want people to come back from time to time to see how far the line has progressed and have a little taste, a little soupçon of...
Yeah, a soupçon is a good French word for that. And actually, I've started using Jack about 4 months ago when I joined the company and when Jack convinced me to join him to help him build a business. And what I noticed is that, you know, gradually you build a longer and longer list of waiting Jacks, because by definition, those stay in your inbox. And each time I go in my inbox, I have a feeling of relaxation. And I call that my daily yoga. Every morning I go in Jack and I see a list. I think I must have 20 of those now. Some of them will open in 5 years, some of them will open in a couple of hours, but it gives me a pleasure of waiting, and I keep referring that to my yoga, my intuitive yoga. I don't know how to call it.
But I suppose if you had a percentage in numbers on there, so if you opened up the thing and it says 37%, someone could easily calculate how much time.
And that would be maybe become too mathematical. Mm-hmm. We'd like to keep a bit of the mystery in the app. Now, obviously, we're also listening to our users. So if our users all start saying, you know, we'd like to know a bit more precisely when the jack will open, or instead of a circle, we'd like something a bit different, we'll consider it. But we feel that this very clean, nice, circular interface is a good way to give a sense of expectation.
Mm-hmm. And do you think of this as being something that might one day replace fast messaging or supplement it?
Not replace, I think, because there are things in life that you must say instantly, like when you and I were about to meet a few minutes ago, I had to know where you were, so I sent you an instant message. It would not have made sense to send you a one-year message. But I think, and of course you are the expert on this notion of slow life and taking more pleasure in taking things slowly, we believe that there is really a place for a slow messaging. Now, you could call it slow messaging or time-based messaging or time is emotion. It's all the same thing. The idea is that you help people rediscover this pleasure of time passing. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you never think about time passing. And this really allows you to start experiencing this thing.
When you live in a culture where everything is getting faster and faster and instant gratification is the hallmark of daily life, what is it you think that we lose, or what gets sacrificed on that altar of hurry and impatience? You mentioned the word pleasure. Is that something you think gets lost? Or?
Oh, yes. And actually, that's a very broad topic. But what I've also noticed when you start using Jack is that you communicate a bit differently with people. Because when you are in a constant exchange of instant messages, you don't take time to reflect. You don't enjoy the communication. It becomes a matter of fact, you know, like waiting for a taxi in a line or waiting behind an ATM machine, or, you know, things that just happen with no real purpose. But here, when you send a Jack, you have a triple pleasure. First of all, you write the message, and that's always a pleasure because it's not an instant message that you will send to have an appointment or to play tennis in an hour. So it's something that you want to say to the other person for which there is the right time.
So, but also, I can pause you there for a moment. We've so far talked about what the jack means for the person receiving it in a way, but what about the sender?
Ah.
There must be a very different way of approaching a message when you know it's going to be read in an hour or 2 hours or 3 years. Do you craft it? Is it something more... an investment somehow?
Absolutely. It's a very different process. When you write a jack, and as a matter of fact, we've noticed that, you know, some people use jack for profound messages, you know, love messages, friendship messages, long-term messages to your kids, etc. And obviously, that's a very good use case for jack. But then some other people use jack to say very benign things, you know, hello, how are you? It was nice seeing you today. And when they do that, they also realize that there is more in a message than just the content. The time is important. If I send a message to my wife now to tell her that last night she was great, I had a great time with her over dinner, and I look forward to see her again tonight. If I send that immediately now using an instant message platform, she would get it, and she's probably stuck in traffic somewhere or in a meeting with her boss or running errands. In other words, my message will have no impact on her. She will probably look at it and just immediately go to the next thing. But if I send her a jack, she has a three-step process. First, she sees the message. She's excited, I hope, by seeing my face. Then she waits, and this waiting is creating an expectation. And then finally, she gets the message at the time I decided, which could be, for instance, 8 p.m. when she's having a relaxing time in the living room. So you're absolutely right. It's not only exciting for the receiver, it's exciting for the writer of the message, not only in preparing the message, but also in knowing that so you are kind of creating a, not infinite, but a recursive relationship between the sender and the receiver. It's like sending letters in the old days. You know, you send a letter, then you wait, and eventually you get a reply. You don't know when, you don't know, but you know that the other person is working on it.
It sounds a little bit like a dance, is it, between the two people, perhaps?
It's a dance, it's a mental dance, and but obviously some people do it on a much more intuitive way. I'm telling you my view of this, but kids, younger people maybe do not see it that way. They just like the fact that it's exciting to have the other person wait. We don't necessarily thinking about this whole intuitive interaction.
I love what you said a moment ago there about how it's a message is not just the content. It's when it arrives and so on. And I wonder if part of what you're striving to do here is to bring back the art of timing. Because when everything happens instantly, there is no timing because everything's just happening at once, isn't it? But if you stretch things out and move things across a temporal landscape, then timing becomes important again, doesn't it?
You're right. And maybe I'd like to say two things about that. One is the story of Jack. Actually, when Jack came up with the idea, Jack lost his parents when he was very young, 3 years old. And during that period, since he was 3 years old, he always expected to get a message, And so getting a transmission from other people at the right time, when you need it, is important. And Jack is quite an emotional person, so he found this clever way to transform this emotional connection into an actual app for your smartphone. So that's the genesis of the product. The way I look at it also from a business point of view, because at the end it's an app and we need to run a business, is that we've created something that no other app ever did before, which is we've created a space between the moment you receive a message and the moment you read it. And that space, of course, is a time space. It can be very short, a couple of hours. It can be very long, 5 years. And this space never existed between two people. If I send you an email, you get it immediately. If I send you a Facebook Messenger, you receive it immediately, or WhatsApp. So I've not created anything except the content. Here I'm creating time. And this time can be populated in whatever fashion you like. Maybe if I send you a Jack, you'll call me and say, what is this? And I'll tell you, you have to wait.
Yeah.
Maybe if you invite me for lunch, I'll tell you more, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So you're right. We're creating a new space, space-time, I guess, that eventually I think people will use in very clever ways.
Has anyone else created a similar app? You gave the impression there that this is a first.
No, it's not the first. It's actually odd in a way that such a basic and simple concept has not been really tested before. We have seen a few companies who did play with the concept, very small startups who play with time-based messaging, but nobody ever took the time like we did and like Jack did to really think about what it means to send a time-based message. It's not just putting a timestamp on a message. It's the whole philosophy behind it, which, by the way, is how we found you, Carl, and we felt that the way you have approached this problem and all the books you have written about that was a very good way to approach the notion of time. But anyway, back to the app, people have played with the concept. No one took it to its conclusion, which is an app to discover the pleasure of time.
Do you think the world is ready for Jack? I know that you've just recently come back from, it was the Mobile Congress in Barcelona, and you put the idea forward among, what was it, 600 companies and came within one of the very top. So it gives the impression that people are ready for this.
Yeah, I think so. And, like any novelty, it will take a little bit of time for people to adopt it. It will also need a critical mass, because if you only receive Jacks from me, after a while you'll be bored, so you need to get Jacks from your friends and wife, etc. So
either that or you'll have to make your Jacks more interesting.
So we need to create a community. But what we've noticed, and especially like you just mentioned at this Mobile World Congress, the world's largest trade show for mobile applications, we met maybe between 500 and 1,000 people. It's a big trade show. People came to us and tested the product. I can say with confidence that not even a single person said that this is not interesting. No. People are all curious, intrigued. Some of them, are telling us, interesting. I'm not sure how I would use it, but interesting. Let me try. And then after a while, they come back and they say, this is fun. I sent my first Jack, and I had pleasure in sending a Jack, which is something you don't have with other apps. You don't have pleasure in sending a WhatsApp message. I mean, it's useful to send a message, but you don't have pleasure. It's functional.
Yeah.
But with Jack, you have pleasure when you write it. And actually, it's another interesting story. The first time people send Jacks, they always tend to send very short Jacks. By short, I mean 1-2 hours. And the reason for that is that they're excited to hear back from their friends. And so I keep telling the people, stop doing that, because that defeats the purpose. It's not about you, it's about them. So make your first Jack a long Jack. And by long, I say 2 days or 3 days, so that you give time to the person to enjoy it. But back to your question, I think, the world is ready, but we do not... And it will sound a little bit arrogant maybe to say that, but we don't want to rush in how we push Jack on the market, because we must distill this application the right way. Which community? 18 to 25, 25 to 35, 35 to older people? Do we want to focus more on emotional messaging or business messaging or family messaging, etc.? And so today we are still at the very early days, so we are listening a lot to our community and see how they use it. you know, what are their preferences? Do they have things they'd like to see in the products? By the way, we have a lot of ideas on how to expand Jack, the Jack experience, but we want to take it slowly.
Can you talk a little bit about the community you've built up already? How many users you have, the demographic profile of who they are, how they use it a little bit more?
Absolutely. So the app was launched in Q4 2015, so less than a few months ago, 5 months ago, and only in Belgium. No marketing, word of mouth, viral deployment. And today we have about 15,000 users, quite active users, and I would say 95% of those are in Belgium. Now, inevitably, of course, we have people in the UK, in France, in South America, in the US, etc., because the app is available on the App Store, on Google Play, etc. Now, we wanted to wait before we do proper large-scale marketing, that we learn more about the application, the way people use it. And last week at the Mobile World Congress was really, you could say, the first international launch of the app. And we're already seeing the uptick now in use case. Now, the key for us is to go, you know, really broad, because Jack makes sense if you have a larger community of people using it. And that's our goal for this year.
Yeah. And, of course, you don't just have to use text, do you? I mean, you've got images and so on.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And actually,
audio,
that's another
audio?
Very interesting metrics. You know, people send pure text, very simple text message, video, audio, and we are about to add additional type of content. So you can make a rich, the experience with Jack can be as rich as you'd like.
How, is there an average wait time that people are asking, or is that changing?
That's a very interesting question. We do not have enough samples. Well, 15,000 is quite a bit, but you know, I don't think that it makes sense yet to extract from that some statistics. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, people have a tendency initially to send very short-term Jacks. Then some people, like Jack, who really push the concept to the bone, I would say, send long Jack, 1 year, 2 years, 4 years. I'm kind of in the middle. I tend to like the one-week Jack, because a one-week Jack is like a letter. Mm-hmm. A letter you would send abroad and then wait back, etc. So I've started to create exchange with some friends that are very similar to the exchanges or communication that our parents had probably in the 60s with letters. And it's very interesting to do that.
There's an interesting parallel going on in other fields of human endeavor, isn't there? Because we're seeing a renaissance of old tape decks or vinyl records, or even letter writing. People are going back to some of those things that are more tactile, more slow. And I wonder if you see this as part of that broader culture quake that's going on, which I would call slow, but you might have a different word for.
Yeah, well, you know, in one of your book, you point to the definition of slow in the main dictionary of the English language. And as you rightly say, so slow has a negative connotation, you know, lazy, etc.
Not just in English.
English. You know? And so we prefer not to use the word slow, because people are saying, something slow, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. There is, people are starting to complain about the instantaneity of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot relax anymore because I'm bombarded every time with tons of things. And Jack has, and that's what I was saying at the beginning of our conversation, Jack has a relaxing effect on people, because you see you have messages, but there is no rush. They are there. They won't go anywhere. If you don't answer, you don't need to answer. They are not open yet. Mm-hmm. So they will grow and grow in your mailbox. They will be delivered at the right time. You don't need to worry about it. By the way, that's another thing we've noticed. People tend to send Jacks that will open on the weekends, because they know their friends are more relaxed on the weekend or in the evening. Yeah. You don't make a Jack that opens at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. The person is in a meeting with his boss. Mm-hmm. The Jack will have no impact.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing nice about a Jack is that a Jack sticks with you. So, you know, you can go back to your Jack. That's very interesting, too, because once you have on the one side, you have the waiting Jacks, and then on the other side, you have the Jacks you've already opened, read, and digested. And if you keep those, it's quite interesting to go back in time and re-enjoy those messages. Mm-hmm. So there is a whole perspective on Jack, not just the sending and the receiving, but the whole philosophy behind it. And we hope that people will enjoy it.
So there's the various stages. There's the sending, there's the waiting, there's the opening and receiving, and then there's the returning to it later.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we are thinking hard at the moment with Jack on how we could leverage all those moments. Now, how to make the writing more exciting. There are many ideas around that. You know, inspiration You know, what do you write about? So we could help people to find inspiration. The second point is the waiting. How could we possibly even populate that waiting by asking people to interact with the waiting period? Maybe I can pick you after I send you a message. I can say, hey, did you see my Jack? Mm-hmm. What are you excited? Do you want to see it? Do you want me to accelerate the Jack, etc.? So mm-hmm. we've all that. Then the receiving, and then eventually the post-reading period. So you're right. It's a whole atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible once you've sent a Jack, let's say you send a Jack and it opens, it's set to open in a year, and your relationship with that person changes 6 months later and suddenly you don't want to send that Jack anymore. You'd like to bring it back. Do you have the facility to retrieve the Jack or delete and erase it? Or is it...
So you know, today, the answer is no. Today, the answer is no. You write a Jack, you send it. It's like posting a post in the letter. The only way you can cancel a Jack is by calling the person and say, please don't read that Jack.
All right.
Now, it's this question is a recurring question. People keep asking us, what happens if I change my mind? What happens if the person has a problem and I don't want to say that thing anymore, et cetera, et cetera? And so we are considering, and this is one of the topics that we're discussing quite intensively with Jack, is what do we offer this maybe as a service, that people, an extra service mm-hmm. for people to cancel a Jack? But there are a whole set of repercussions that you need to think about that. It's not that simple. Yeah. Because then, you know, if you send a Jack and the person starts to experience pleasure in the waiting, if you cancel it, you create another problem. So it's a good question, but we don't have the answer yet.
Yeah, because you could end up in a very complicated debate there about which Jacks you would allow yourself to cancel. So if you can imagine a scenario where, let's say, I sent a Jack to a friend making a joke about his wife, and then he divorced in the meantime, or she died. Yeah. You would want that Jack to come back. So as a company, you might think, well, we'll help you out there. But another Jack, a different scenario, you might think, well, and then the company has itself
asking itself
ethical.
You're right. And that's why, for the moment, I think, of course, we don't know what people see in their Jack. It's private. Mm-hmm. But the way we tend to use it is for non-sensitive things. No, you can say it's sensitive things in the future. You know, good luck with your exams, or in a year from now to my wife, another great year with you. Even if something happens, you know, this Jack is there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know.
It's a record of what
it's a record of what I felt at that moment. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, we also see people, and this is sad, but it's powerful. And I think it's a good sign that Jack feels a need. People who are at the end of their lives, people with cancer, you know, discover Jack and they mm-hmm. say, maybe this is a tool I can use to send a message to my kids. You know,
beyond the grave.
Yeah, because I have a distance. I don't, you know, it's hard to talk about those things. People don't like to say those things. And so sending that in a post-mortem way maybe is a good thing. Now, obviously, we don't want, and this is also a debate we've together with Jack, we don't want this to become a marketing tool, because who markets a product about post-mortem communication? It doesn't make any sense.
That's
but if people
niche.
Use it and enjoy it for that, so be it. Yeah. We don't want Jack to become a tool for specific use case, even though quite a few businesses are asking us, and by the way, that's a separate topic, to use Jack for their own purpose.
What sort of purpose?
Well, if you think about it, by creating this sense of expectation, you have a very powerful tool for advertising.
Yeah.
That is just immensely more effective than any other means, TV, Facebook, tweet, etc. Because I'm a brand, I'm sending you a Jack with my logo because I know you will like my new product. You wait maybe a week or 2 weeks watching my logo, watching my little circle going. When it finally opens, whether you like it or not, your brain has registered my brand for a week.
Yeah.
And so when it finally opens, and hopefully you like what I'm telling you about my new product or my new store or an event, or if I'm an artist, I can send you a new video of my next album, mm-hmm. the impact on you will be, we believe, at least 100 times more effective than a regular advertising message. Now, again, we don't want Jack to become immediately an advertising tool. Now, if people find ways to use it properly for advertising, why not? Like Facebook today and mm-hmm. Twitter and Instagram. But that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is for people to enjoy time.
Yeah. You said that a Jack is private, so you can't, as a company, read them. But is it, I mean, could the FBI get in if they need to? Or is that one of those?
You know, I'll call Tim Cook and ask him. But, it's like any messaging platform. What we, you know, it's between a sender and a receiver. Mm-hmm. Now, we have, of course, a legal attorney, an attorney, the legal mm-hmm. counsel, sorry, who is looking at those issues. And if one day we have an issue and someone, the government is asking us what was in that jack because it created concern for terrorist attack or something like that, then obviously we'll seek legal advice. We are engineers, we are not legal people, so we'll do the right thing. But yeah. Today, obviously, we don't look at any of the jacks.
Yeah, and is it possible to hack a jack? I mean, if somebody's in a real rush, can they fiddle with the software and get to see their jack?
We have a very, very secure platform. Our CTO is a top-notch CTO, and so we've made sure that the hosting, the platform, the encryption, etc., is very secure.
Mm-hmm. And are you aiming this at one particular age group or demographic, or no? Because we've talked about the young and people who are dying. I mean, so you see this right across the spectrum?
Right across the spectrum, but we will most probably do tailored, targeted marketing for specific population groups. We were discussing yesterday with a group of students from the university in Brussels, 20, 25-year-old, and they like Jack a lot, mm-hmm. more than we thought, because we thought initially that this would first be adopted by the 35-year-old, you know, people with kids, for instance, mm-hmm. who have the experience of waiting, the experience of frustration, of fast life, etc. A 16-year-old is in the middle of instant messaging, mm-hmm. so maybe they won't understand, but to our surprise, they like it. And I think there is two aspects to that. One is people are clever than we think, and they like emotions, even though they don't talk too much about it. But there is another aspect, which is the cool aspect. You know, think about Woodstock. You know, the kids maybe would like to live Woodstock again, even though they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. May 68. It's kind of a fascinating period for them. So maybe by looking at Jack, they say, oh, that's a new way to communicate. Maybe it's more cool to use Jack than Snapchat.
Because it's sort of vintage? Or just because it's different?
It's new, it's different, it's vintage. Oh, it's funny. No, it's counterculture.
Yeah.
It's like the punk movement in the 80s, I guess. It's the same thing. It's different. Mm-hmm. And young people like things that are different. You know, when my daughter, she's 16, she goes to school and she's the only one initially to say, I'm using Jack. She's the hero, of course, mm-hmm. in the classroom, and then et cetera. So we didn't
expect... novelty is part of it.
It's a novelty. Yeah. And we didn't expect that, and so we will see if we can leverage that.
But do you think that they're also that young demographic, the millennial generation, the digital natives we're always being told about, who want everything faster and faster, that they also have an appetite for a different speed of doing things in certain... Do you see that as well, or do you just think it's a novelty?
I think they will have an appetite for something different, because even them, I can see, are starting to be tired of instant messaging because it's a constant pressure. It's a pressure. If you don't answer an instant message, does that mean you are not interested? You don't pay attention? Are you a loser? And I can see with my kids and, you know, the young people I see around me that it's sometimes too much. You want to disconnect. Even when you're 16, you want to disconnect from time to time. Mm. And Jack is a good way to do that. You know, you can say something. Think about it. You're an 18-year-old young boy. You see a beautiful girl at university. It's hard to tell her that she's cute, right? With Jack, it's much easier. You send a Jack, and you make the Jack 2 weeks. So you send it, then you don't think about it anymore. And then she'll get it. If she likes it, great, you've succeeded. If she doesn't, who cares? Because time passed. You know, there is a saying in French, le temps fait digérer toutes les choses. Le temps est un bon... the time is a good... how do you say that?
Time digests all things.
Voilà, things. You know, time is a very good healer to heal things.
Time is a great healer, Gosh, I wish we'd had that at university.
We had letters. We had letters.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, you could put the letter. And actually, on the video on our website, if you go to your website, you'll see there is a nice inspiration video. And you see a little boy in school putting a note on the desk of a little girl next to him with, do you love me, yes or no? And she's shrugging her shoulders, she's not answering. And then they meet again 20 years later when they are, you know, 25, and she comes back with the note. So we had indeed a different mechanism to communicate, and Jack brings back to the table now.
Yeah. Well, you've already talked about the Jacks you've sent to other people. I think it might be interesting to explore sending a Jack to oneself. Have you done that, or do you recommend people?
Oh, it's very interesting you mentioned that, because the first thing I did when I joined Jack recently as a CEO, I sent myself a Jack for 1 year from now, you know, with my expectation of where we'll be in 1 year. So of course I'll then forget about this Jack. It's sitting there in my inbox, and in a year from now I'll read it and I'll see if I've achieved my goal with Jack. Another example is January 1st. You have a bunch of expectation for the year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to exercise more, and I'm going to see my kids more often. Right, send yourself a Jack, and then check it out a year later if you have achieved your resolutions in French. So yeah, absolutely. And from time to time, I send myself a Jack, and I would encourage people to do that. It's a pleasure to listen to yourself after a while.
It's a different form of reflection, isn't it?
It is, and the fact that you can record yourself, audio or video, you can just very casually talk to your phone, record a message, and attach it to a Jack. So you don't need to spend a lot of time writing a letter, etc. So you can just record something, a thought.
It's more spontaneous than natural, maybe. Yeah.
Or even if you have an idea, I have an idea, we should do this maybe in the future. Here is a good use case for Jack. But instead of writing it down and then you'll forget, you just send it to yourself for a few months from now. And then it will come back and you get more ideas about it. Because, you know, in the meantime, your brain will work on the concept. So I would encourage you to do it.
I think my next Jack is going to be sent to myself. Let's finish up with a final question, which is this. Let's imagine a hypothetical listener to this podcast is hearing what we've been talking about and thinking, this sounds great, I'm interested. I'm going to go to the website, I'm going to download the app. What do I do? You know, what would be a piece of advice you'd give to that person?
So you have two ways to do that. You go on our website, www.youhaveajack.com, and there we'll point you to the right places to download the application, which is available on the App Store, Apple, or the Android Google Play. And you go on those two app stores and you type You Have a Jack and you'll get the application. One thing that is important to know is that you can send Jacks to people who do not have Jack yet. So actually the first time you and I interacted was through a Jack.
Yeah.
And we've conceived that in the product. So you can send a Jack to someone without knowing if that person already has Jack.
You as just long need as their you, phone number.
Yeah,
right?
You need a mobile number. And in the future, very short-term future, you'll be able to do that with the email as well. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple to send a Jack. The person who does not have Jack, when he or she receives the message, will be notified to download the app, and it's free to use, obviously, and very easy to install, as you know. So we expect people to easily and rapidly send Jacks to their friends and families.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.